that Jesus would come and that he'd live and that he'd die for our sins. You know, his crucifixion, his suffering, it wasn't by chance. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. No, it was God's plan. It was God's plan because God looked at you. He looked at me and he said, you know what? They're going to need a Savior. Bart's going to need a Savior because without me, he's hopeless. He's condemned in his sin. So God says, I know what I'll do. And Jesus willingly agreed to come and to become one of us, to take on flesh so that we might be saved. The Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1. And yes, I know it's March and it's not the Christmas season. I know. Don't have to remind me, I know. Starting at verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Don't you desire for that to be true? That you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Do you know what? In Christ, it is true. In Christ Jesus, it is true. You are highly favored. You have experienced the grace of God. And God is with you, for that is his promise. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity to share your truth and your grace, your power. For Lord Jesus, there is nothing impossible with you. Pray that you would open our hearts and our ears that we might hear from you this morning. I pray that you would be glorified in all that is said and in our response as well. In your name, Lord, amen. In the midst of the Christmas story, and this is the beginnings of it, if you actually want to read the Christmas story, it normally begins at chapter 2, verse 1. But this is actually part of the Christmas story. We find this incredible statement that nothing is impossible for God. It is a statement that is assumed, yet it is, in its assumption, there is a haziness that forms. You know in your heart that all things with God are possible. All things. God can do anything. You know that. But there's a haziness that forms. Is he really able to do this? I know God created the heavens and the earth and that all things are because of him. I know that all things are held together, but can he take care of this? A haziness forms. Although we know that all things are possible with God, there are times when we do not live as though all things are possible with Him. There are times that we don't expect the miraculous. In fact, there are times we will pray, and then we are shocked when God answers. Amen? Is that you? I've been guilty of it myself. I pray, and then when God does it, I go, wow. We ought not be surprised when God involves Himself in our lives. We ought not be surprised when God involves Himself in our lives. You know that God has invested way too much in us, you and I, to leave us to our own devices. He who gave His Son to die that we might have life, He has invested way too much to say, all right, I've saved you from your sin. Let me know how it all turns out now. I'm going away, and no, He doesn't do that. He has too much invested in you to leave you to your own devices. So it really ought not surprise or shock us when God intervenes in our life. In the story of the announcement of the birth of Mary, we find that the angel Gabriel is announcing to Mary that she will have a child. Mary responds, well, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. She did know the facts of life. Gabriel explains, and then, for nothing is impossible with God. Even to the point where a virgin can conceive and give birth? Yes. Yes. Even for a virgin to conceive and give birth. In fact, the angel says, your cousin Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. She's well beyond a birthing age. Much like Sarah was too old. She was 90 years old, Sarah was. With God, nothing is impossible. In the life of Hannah, in the book of Samuel, God had blessed her with a son. She who was unable to conceive and had been tormented by her sister wife went yearly to the tabernacle and poured out her heart before God. God, give me a son. Give me a son. And even if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. God heard her prayer, for nothing is impossible with God. That son is Samuel, one of the champions of the Old Testament. For she fulfilled her end of the agreement, and she did give him back. When he was 4 or 5, she came and delivered him back to the tabernacle. With God, nothing is impossible. However, it is not just childless women that God is able to do the impossible with. If there was only childless women, then I would kind of be left out. And many of you would be as well. In the next few weeks, we want to discover the attitudes or the traits or the circumstances that we can develop or walk in so that we might be in a position to see the impossible. So that the impossible, or what we consider to be impossible, can become possible. We want to look at the enduring faith of Abraham, which caused him not only to leave his homeland, but to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. What faith? This faith set the circumstance for the impossible to occur in his life. We want to look at the heart of Moses, whom was known as the friend of God. What a compliment. I want to be the friend of God. resulted in the impossible becoming possible. We want to look at David, the shepherd boy who became king, and the love that he had for God. And because of that love and his walk with God, it resulted in the miraculous. We want to look at Daniel and Joseph, who rose from slavery to great positions of power. The impossible becoming possible because of their attitudes, because of their stance before God, their relationship with God. By looking at these, we hope to discover the traits that we should have in our own lives. I want to have these traits in my life, because as we develop these traits in our life, then I believe that we'll begin to see the impossible being done. Because the impossible is done by God, not by us. It's done by God. I want to discuss what it means to truly trust God, what it means to be a friend of God, what it means to see God moving in our lives, making the impossible possible for us. I believe that the things God did in the scriptures are not just for the scriptures. For scripture says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And so if he did those things then, he can do those and will do those things. We can expect him to do those things even in the year 2020. He's the eternal God. It doesn't matter what year it is. Our God is able. However, for that to occur, we must prepare. We must be ready. For you see, not every young lady in Israel was fit to be the mother of Jesus. God specifically chose Mary. He specifically chose Mary. Not every lady was prepared. In fact, the words of Gabriel in verse 28 indicates that Mary had found grace, had found great favor in the eyes of God. She had found great favor. Now, this indicates two things. First, Mary had found grace in the eyes of God, just as Genesis indicates. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. In the same way, Mary had found grace in his eyes. This means that Mary was not perfect. Noah was not perfect. But there was something in them that God saw. I can use that. There's something in them. I can use that. And you know, he graciously did. At times, we feel that God, for him to move in a life, we need to be perfect. And you know, that's not the case. Because if he can only use those who are perfect, then that excludes all of us. Because there is only one person who is perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. Only he is perfect. We are not. We are flawed. Actually, we're flawed in a multitude of ways. However, to find grace or favor in the eyes of God, both Mary and Noah had demonstrated a certain attitude, a behavior that pleased God. Although not perfect, Mary demonstrated a humility toward God. I would say even that it was a reckless humility. A reckless humility, let me explain. She possessed the heart of a servant, and she expressed that attitude in verse 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. There wasn't any objections. There wasn't any, how is this going to happen? There's no resistance. There's humility toward the will of God. She was radically humble, for she was willing to endure the radical part. She was willing to endure all of the gossip, the shunning, the consequences that would come as a result of submitting to God. Because you know there was a consequence. For as the weeks and the months, you know when a lady gets pregnant, you know what happens. It's not very long until she begins to show. And the whole village began to understand that she was pregnant. As in any town, oh, the tongues started wagging. She's not married. Oh, no. You know, in those days, if a young lady got pregnant and was not married, she could be put to death. It's a reckless humility. That day with the angel when she said, "Let it be so unto me." It was a reckless humility, regardless of the consequence. I want what you want for me. I want to fulfill what you have for me. I am your servant. Lord Jesus, I am yours. She was in complete surrender to God. This, my friends, is the first attitude that we must develop in our lives, if we're going to be prepared to see the impossible happen in our lives. We must humble ourselves before God. Be willing for God's will to be done in our lives. We must be willing to completely surrender to Him. This means we must be willing to give up our own desires for the sake of God's will. Willing to give up our own dreams for the sake of God's will. To do as Romans 12 encourages, to be living sacrifices. You know, the thing about a living sacrifice is it does not resist. A sacrifice does not resist. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm your servant. Let it be to me, as you have said. You'll recall when asked how we should pray, Jesus said, "Pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That humility, that surrender, that sacrifice. Lord, let your will be done in my life. I bow before you. To pray that thy will be done in my life was the cry of Mary. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Can we pray that same prayer? Lord, let thy will be done. It's the cry, it's the prayer of a servant, of one who is humble before him. It was the cry of Hannah. Lord, let your will be done. It was the cry of Jesus. Lord, let this cup pass from me as he was approaching the cross. Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. He speaks of a humility, a surrender to the will of God. As we surrender to God, then the impossible becomes possible for us. As we surrender to God, taking on a servant's heart, then we find that we are in a place of serenity. After all, it's no longer up to us, it's up to God. Lord, I gave that to you. I surrendered that to you. I now can trust you with it. After all, it's not up to me now, it's up to God. It's in God's hands. A place of peace. Place of rest, a place where God is then able to do the miraculous. You see, as long as we're holding on to things tightly, It's very difficult for God to intervene because we're kind of like this and we're not going to let it go. And God is simply saying, you know, would you just release that to me? Would you just release it? Be a lot happier that way. But perhaps you say, how do I learn this humility you're speaking of? How do I learn to be a servant? I don't know how to do that. 2 steps I would give you this morning. 2 steps. 1, purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart to be a servant. Purpose in your heart to be a servant. It is an act of your will. To be a servant is not something that is just thrust on you. A lightning strike is not going to shoot out of heaven and bop you on the head and, aha, then you're a servant. No. You must purpose or choose in your life, in your heart, to be a servant. To humble yourself. However, I would tell you that to humble yourself before God, it requires that you also humble yourself before man. We practice on each other. You say, well, I'm better than that one. That's what we're talking about. Purpose in your heart to humble yourself. Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before man as well. Mary possessed this radical humility, and the proof of this is found in the circumstance under which she delivered her son. She delivered her son in a barn. Ladies, would you like that surrounding in delivering your child? Not so much. You say, well, she didn't have a choice. Oh, I've seen a lot of pregnant women that go into labor. She had a choice. But she lived in humility, humbleness. Let it be so unto me. Casting that pride. Well, I deserve a lot better than this. Yeah, you probably do. But humble yourself. I'm worth more than this. Oh, yes, you probably are. But nevertheless, humble yourself. Consider the example of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself even to the point of being willing to die on a cross for you and I. He could have very easily said, well, I don't deserve this. Don't you know I'm the Lord of glory? I created everything that is. Yes, he did. But he humbled himself because he knew that was the will of God for him. He knew it was the will of God for him. As a result, God has given him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue would confess. What? That Jesus is Lord. Every knee would bow. Let God do the impossible. Let God do the miraculous. But the first step is for us to humble ourselves regardless of the consequence. Well, Jesus humbled himself, and where did it get him? He got him hanging on a cross. That's a pretty big consequence. But you know what? It was the will of God for him. God has his will for you. Probably not hanging on a cross, but will it come with consequences? Perhaps. But that's up to God. The second, first, is to purpose in your heart. Secondly, after purposing in your heart to be a servant, then, oh, this is so profound. You're going to love it. You got to practice it. Purpose in your heart to be a servant, and then practice being a servant. Practice submitting, but not only before God, practice submitting to one another. Sometimes that's hard on the ego. Sometimes it's hard on the pride. I'm better than this. Practice submitting to those who you feel are less than you. You know what? As we learn to submit to those around us, we will find that submitting to God is less challenging. After all, if I can submit and serve you, well, God, because He is greater than I am. Practice serving, submitting to one another. And by doing so, you will begin, if you're not already, to fulfill the will of God in your life. You will position yourself in order to begin to see God's movement, God doing the impossible in your life. As we practice radical submission, we will see God demonstrating His power in our lives. Because sometimes God's power being revealed is through us. As we serve others, they will see the power of God, but God's using us as the instrument of that. The impossible. Years ago, I had a friend named Glenda. Glenda made a kind of a foolish statement. Glenda was praying. She was by herself in her apartment. And she was praying, and was having a down day, and she said, "Lord, I don't think that you love me. I don't think that anyone in this world loves me." If you love me, if anyone loves me in this world, I'm going to set the clock 15 minutes. I'll give you 15 minutes. I want somebody to show up at my doorstep to tell me that God loves me. You know what? That's a foolish statement. Don't put a clock on God. That's not wise. In the meantime, though, I, as was my habit, as will be my habit here, I like going, Jennifer will tell you, I like getting the mail. It's like Christmas. You get to go and see what's in the box. What's in the box? I went to get the mail. By habit, I do not just drop in. If I just drop in on you, it will be the exception. I give you the courtesy that I will call you before I drop in. You don't have to worry that I'm just going to drop. It will be the exception if I ever drop in on you. Or, unless you have said to God, "I need somebody to come to my door." Maybe, well, I wouldn't depend on that, though. But anyway, I was coming back from the post office, and I felt the Lord speak to me and say, "You know, drop by Glenda's house." And I, like I say, I'm not the one to do that. So I responded with, "I'll go back to the church and call her." See, I have to learn submission and humility as well at times. And the Lord spoke again and said, no, don't go back to the church. You just go. And I started to argue with him. You ever argue with God? Yeah. Oh. No, it's not the best thing to do. I said, "No, you don't understand, Lord. I don't just drop in. I go call." And no, he says, "No, you go see Glenda." "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." So I drove on over, parked the car, started walking up the walk. Her door was open. The screen was there, but I could see through the screen, the light was just right. And I could see that she was beginning to cry. I had made it by about 3 minutes. Of the 15 minutes, there were 3 minutes left. You see, if I would have gone back to the church, it would have missed. She saw the impossible made possible. Not because of her humility, perhaps, but because my willingness to be a servant and to obey the Lord as he spoke. The impossible becomes possible as we humble ourselves and are willing to do as the Lord would have us do. Serve one another. Practice humility with one another. And watch the impossible happen in your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning.